Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in with us today. I am Mike Metz, your host for this hour, along with engineer Michael Murphy and neighbor and Milford Township resident naturalist Pat Schlerbaum. Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana, will slip in later in the hour to share her heart-to-heart and tune-in Tuesday messages. So, Pat, our spring weather temperatures and conditions seem to expand and contract like a runaway slinky. What are you hoping to see in your outdoor explorations? I know you've got some good news about peregrine falcons in the northeast part of our state.
Oh, I might just point out, yes, the Raptor Resource Project has a nest cam at Great Spirit Bluff, which is near La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's on one of the cliffs overlooking the Mississippi River, where those birds nested historically. This morning, there is mating. There is a male and a female at a nest site, and they're making eggs. And it is quite exciting because there's been a replacement female. There's been three others that the male has suited that have moved on, peregrines or wanderers, but this is quite a day.
That's great.
It looks like there will be nesting.
So spring is upon at least the peregrine falcons. Like I say, it's a little iffy around here, but we will see summer at some point.
It seemed like we had all four seasons yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, no, they were a song group, Pat.
Oh.
yeah. So, you know, songs and groups, let's listen in. That's Doug Woods' Voyager's Dream from his album Deep Woods, Deep Waters, and thought that would help us get into the spirit of Earth Week, Pat. And before we talk about that, we need to talk about a neighbor to the north, the passing of former Vice President Mondale. He passed away yesterday and served as vice president during the Carter administration. And as we both, as we all know here, that there was some real concerns about the environment. And at that time, climate was an issue. Solar power panels were put on the White House. And I'm sure he had something to do with that. He also had fondness for the Boundary Waters area and some of those special places. And mm-hmm. Doug Woods, by the way, is associated with the Boundary Waters and the purity of the great outdoors.
Walter Mondale was mandated to enforce or to recognize the Endangered Species Act. And those were important legislative issues in the early 1970s. People would kind of focus on, like we talked about the peregrine falcons earlier. They were wiped out. They were put on a list. They have returned. Things improved. But it was the habitat that Walter Mondale was so integral in implementing the policies that would create an environment that was a little bit healthier. And Walter Mondale was a giant, probably understated and kind of behind the scenes, but wasn't in 1976 when Jimmy Carter was elected. So we were still mired in the 70s. There weren't any bald eagles nesting in Iowa in 1976, and probably just a few in Minnesota. But it all started to turn around in 1977 in Iowa with nesting bald eagles.
Yeah, it was a real thrill. Back in the mid-70s, early in the mid-70s, to drive across the areas. For me, it was a La Crosse area. Mm-hmm. And if you saw a bald eagle through that area, man, that was special. Because you had to go all the way north to places like the Boundary Waters or northern Wisconsin to mm-hmm. really consistently see those magnificent birds.
And it was Hubert Humphrey they were still involved shoulder to shoulder. He was the senator from Minnesota. So Walter Mondale was really a giant and understated, but his passing will be noted, and I'm sorry to his family. Condolences to the Mondale family for that loss.
Well, you know, we're talking about things that are going on here during Earth Week, and we need to highlight a little bit about what we can expect, what our listeners are in for. Can you maybe just review for us what's ahead?
Well, Susan Guiasta, the public relations officer that I'm sure our listeners are very familiar with, has coordinated the conservation leaders in the city of Ames. Paul Talkey comes to mind, Liz Calhoun, and Don Rahm. Individuals that are involved with energy and different methods to sustain us here in a very progressive, beautiful community will be featured on Saturday. We're going to start at 7:45 with a report from Ada Hayden and Wolf Osterreich that you've coordinated, Mike Metz. And then we'll break down each hour of the day has essentially someone from the city or from Iowa State University. Mary Rankin will be intricately involved with all of her sustainability contacts. So we're going to hear the best of what Ames offers and the best of what Iowa State University is providing in a day, an appreciation of, I guess, Earth Day this year is on Thursday, April 22nd. But I think all those conservation leaders are be uniting with a phrase that I hear Mary Rankin use quite often is, it's really an Earth month of April. And then if people can kind of broaden that perspective into a little bit of Earth Day every day, let's take care of what we've got here.
Yeah, you're right. That slogan, Earth every day is Earth Day for many of us. And I know that some of the folks that our listeners will be hearing Saturday especially We're going to give them a little taste today, but Saturday especially, to some of them, that indeed is a fact, that Earth Day is every day, that we want to set aside a specific day, similar to our Day of Independence and some of our other holidays, but you want to make you think and reflect on things. But to be a true advocate and steward of the Earth, every day is Earth Day.
And I'm sure that message will resonate with one of our conservation leaders here at KHOI, Dr. Irv Kloss. And if you're listening, Irv, we're anxious to provide programming that you're going to enjoy and live and learn about Earth Day Appreciation 2021.
And I know it's especially a place close to Irv's heart, for example, since we're talking about Irv, to be able to start out the morning at Ada Hayden with an on-the-spot along the pathway of one of our stalwart observers, the keeper of the record, so to speak, for Ada Hayden and what's going on. Wolf does a wonderful job, and he's going to be there. That will set the wildlife tone, and then we'll just kind of float or fly into the doings for the day. And for our listeners, they can tune in any time during that day, but we hope that you stay with us for that entire 8 to 9 hour session. I say that because we're not exactly sure yet how long we're going to go with this Beyond Five, because we have so many interviews and folks that we sure want to have our listeners tune
in from around the state. Yeah, sure enough. We'll have voices to kind of complement everything that these conservation leaders of the City of Ames and Iowa State University are providing. And just one more reference to Irv Kloss. I've heard him refer to Wolf Osterich as one of the best biologists, one of the best scientists he knows. And so to start the day with Wolf is going to be a great send-off, a great way to get it going. The coordination, implementing music and varying voices that Ursula Rudenberg is coordinating, we're getting set. It's a lot of work, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, let's listen from one of the one of those individuals, one of our leaders of the our community and our region, our state for sure. We'll just listen in.
Chimpees from Ames, and I grew up in southeastern Iowa in the town of Burlington, which is the hometown of Aldo Leopold. In college, ended up in Wisconsin, eventually at the University of Wisconsin in the Department of Wildlife Ecology, which is the department that Aldo Leopold, who is also from Burlington, founded. It was the first wildlife department in the country. He died the year I was born, 1948, but he's buried in Burlington. The origin of that whole family is from Burlington, Aldo and his brothers and parents and everything. There's a long history of influence with Leopold. Most of my professors in that department were former graduate students of Aldo Leopold. So it's really a pretty deep connection. Clearly one of my most influential people was Aldo Leopold. In fact, the Leopold family. I once borrowed a map with my brother from Fred Leopold, who was in our church. That map was a big island south of Burlington. It was a map that he and Aldo had made as kids of the island. It's a 5 mile long island sitting in the middle of the Mississippi River. And we put tracing paper over it and redid it, showing him how the internal channels and some of the ponds had changed. And I gave it back to him. Never found it after he died, unfortunately. But anyway, it was pretty special. I knew even then that it was sort of historical that we had that in our hands, you know. It was pretty neat. So I want to recount a couple of things from the Sand County Almanac. One is a phrase that I frequently use. It's on all of my emails. It really says for me a lot about my life as well as his. And he said, when he was talking about wilderness and the importance of wilderness, he said, "I'm glad I shall never be young without wild places to be young in. of what avail are 40 freedoms without a blank spot on the map? And that, to me, is the reason I think I've spent so much of my life teaching kids in the outdoors, taking kids in the outdoors, and adults. Being young and being in the outdoors was formative for me very, very much. So I want to pass that on and make sure that other young people get the chance to be in the outdoors. The other thing he talks about in Sand County Almanac was the land ethic. And I won't go in, you can certainly read that yourselves and probably have read it. He says the land ethic simply enlarges the boundaries of the community to include soils, waters, plants, and animals, or collectively, the land. He says in short, he goes on about ethics and what ethics and how it's evolved over time and how generally we don't include land in our ethics. So he's pushing for us to have a land, and I would say a land and water ethic. And he said, in short, a land ethic changes the role of Homo sapiens from conqueror of the land community to plain member and citizen of it. It implies respect for his fellow members and also respect for the community as such. And that whole concept of respect for community members and for the whole of the community is something I think we as a state, as a community here in Ames, as a community in a neighborhood, as a larger community in the state and the nation and the world, have to learn that respect. If we fail to do that, if we fail very soon to have a large community that adopts that land ethic, then I think as a species, we're in real trouble.
Thank you, Jim.
You bet. Thank you.
So that's Jim, Who Cooks For You, Pease, Dr. Jim Pease. And I don't know how many listeners, I don't know, Pat, if you've recently had the opportunity to get out on a trail out in the woodlands with Jim, but especially this time of year, he just loves, he is on pitch when he's trying to call for a barred owl. That's one of his favorite birds. But, you know, he has a marvelous message, and he's one of our oaks. I think he's one of our great oak trees for conservation.
Well, he's a great blessing to KHOI. He's right there with Irv Kloss. My goodness, you know, the work that they've done at Ada Hayden, the crown jewel of the Ames Park system right there at Ada Hayden is a very important project to both Dr. Jim Pease and Dr. Irv Kloss.
Yeah. So taking that one step from Ada Hayden, what are we going to expect? I know we've got specific hours set aside. Are there some particulars that you're interested in as far as showcasing?
I wish I could pronounce AO's last name. I don't have it here, but one of the co-producers with Mary Rankin, AO, his projects of recycling, repurposing. Last year it was cardboard. This year we're going to learn about a very exciting project about our paper towels and how they're being managed and reutilized. And some of the food securities, insecurities, food, how we're dealing with our food and our food system at Iowa State University, I find very compelling. I mean, not only are they doing the right by the resource of our nutrition supply, but also how it affects all the students and the people in these teams. I mean, they are literally growing the environmental movement for the next generation, which I guess we'd have to say it's the best hope for the future is our up-and-coming generation.
Well, and speaking of up-and-coming generations, you know, we're talking to a number of different folks. We've had the honor, the time, the pleasure to visit with folks through the community, and we want to make sure that we include that next generation, and we've done that. Mm-hmm. And here's an example of somebody that I really think is somebody to watch.
This is Mike Metz, and I recently had an opportunity to enjoy a delightful spring afternoon visiting with Graham Harms, a young conservationist and a future steward of our natural resources. Graham and I were joined by his dad, Tyler Harms.
Graham, should we go in the backyard?
Yeah.
Kind of be out of the wind.
Just started today.
Chickadee.
Oh, cool. Nest building in there like crazy today.
Have you looked in there to look at the nest, Graham?
We haven't. He just started, so I just noticed that this morning he was flying back and forth between our linden, picking the moss off the base of the linden and taking it in there.
Uh-huh. Okay, Graham, want to sit at the picnic table? We could do that. Be kind of in the sun.
We can do that, can't we? It's warmer in the sun.
Yeah. Graham, what can you tell me about your chickens back there? How many hens do you have?
Four.
Four of them, huh?
Yep.
And they're all hens?
Yeah. Our rooster died.
Oh, no. Why did he die?
He had a disease.
Oh.
Hey, look, it's the chickadee, Dad. Up there. This is up in the tree.
Oh, on the back. He landed on the back.
See?
Oh, up there. Is that chickadee building a nest?
Maybe. There are a lot of them that come to our yard.
I only have two. You guys are really lucky. You like chickadees, huh?
Yeah.
Graham, what's one of your favorite birds here?
I think it's the cardinal.
Oh, yeah? Why do you like the cardinal?
I really like the male's vibrant red.
Ah, yeah.
What have we had coming to the feeders that's been pretty special for us this year?
Bluebird?
That's right.
You've had a bluebird coming to the
feeders? Yeah, that's what we put out the box for. We hoped that the bluebird would nest in it.
But the chickadees are nesting
there. Yeah.
So maybe you have to put another box up. Do you have another box?
Right over there on one of the fence posts.
So you think a bluebird might work that
it's
one?
It's an old one.
Okay.
You don't have another bluebird box. You've got a red box in the front yard. In fact, I think I saw a chickadee going into that one this morning, too.
It'd be good if the chickadees took them and not the wrens. What do wrens do when they find a nest, you know,
Graham,
about what they do with little sticks?
I don't know.
Kind of put little sticks in the holes, and that tells other wrens that, hey, this looks like maybe somebody's living here. They fool the other wrens. Did you know that?
Graham,
do you have a favorite field bird?
I like the goldfinch because it's yellow, and yellow's my favorite color.
Why is yellow your favorite color?
I just like it.
Ah, okay. I thought maybe it reminded you of bananas or something.
Yeah.
What are you guys going to do this afternoon? Remember what you and Mom and Otis are going to do this afternoon?
You going to go for a hike or something?
We're going to go on a picnic to Robeson.
Is Robeson one of your favorite parks?
Mm-hmm.
They had to bring goats in to gnaw down some of the understory.
Oh, did they have goats out there?
They had goats out there. I don't think they have them now. Use goats to munch down woody vegetation, Graham. Do you know about that?
We saw the goats out in McFarland.
We even named one of the goats.
You
that
did?
Seemed to really like us.
What'd you call them, Billy?
No, it was a girl.
Oh.
Annie?
Yeah.
Annie?
Yeah, it was the...
Nanny?
Oh, I memorized the number on her tag. So we knew which one was her.
Okay, so what was the number?
47 something. And then there's another digit, but I can't remember it.
Graham, are you guys going to do anything for Earth Day?
I'm sure we'll do something. Every day is kind of Earth Day for us, isn't it, Graham?
Mm-hmm.
When I come over here, a lot of times, either you're walking down the street or you've left and I don't know where you are. You're sneaking around looking for birds, huh? So a marsh bird or a bird that's on the water, do you have a favorite water bird, Graham?
Wood duck.
A wood duck?
I like the male's head plumage.
Does the male or does the female wood duck? Do you know which one sings? The whistly sound, and do you know that one?
It's the female? I don't really know.
Yeah.
What did we learn about mallards and quacks the other day when we were out hiking? Which one makes loud quacks?
Females.
So it's about the same with the wood duck. Mallards, you know, the females are brown. Do you know why?
The females are like that to camouflage.
Do you know what camouflage means?
Yeah, it means to blend into your surroundings.
Because they got to protect their eggs, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds to me like Earth Day is just another day for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's pretty important to celebrate nature, don't we, bud?
Yeah.
That's great. Do you have a favorite bird that your brother Otis doesn't have?
He likes house sparrows.
House sparrows. If people look at house sparrows close, they have a lot of different colors and pattern in them. They're really a pretty bird for being what you think is just kind of a little dull brown bird.
Yeah, we've got a family of house sparrows living in our bushes.
Well, how come they're called house sparrows then and not bush sparrows? Do you have a favorite mammal, cottontail rabbits?
Yeah, once we had a nest of them over there under our own playhouse.
Do you remember how many little rabbits were in the nest?
Was it four?
Graham, on your hikes away from the house, what animals do you like to look for?
We haven't been looking for animals lately.
What?
Flowers.
Flowers. Wild flowers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Woodland flowers?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the names?
There's some mini violets.
Mini violets. Okay, do you know there's one flower that's named after a piece of clothing? You remember that one?
Dutchman's breeches?
Dutchman's breeches, yeah.
We saw some of those too.
Where did you see the Dutchman's breeches?
On the side of a trail.
Oh, okay.
What did we see this morning for the first time?
May apple.
A May apple? How do you know it's a May apple? It's only April. Have you seen the bloom?
We've seen a May apple bloom. Not yet this year.
Okay. They bloom first. And then in May, June, you see the little fruit where the bloom was.
Yeah.
I know when you're hanging around the marsh, you find all kinds of little critters in the mud and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of those critters are meaty, or making little croaky sounds. You have a favorite frog?
I like cricket frogs.
Cricket frogs. Do you know how you can tell a cricket frog?
Well, I know they're small because I like catching them.
Oh.
And they, And I know that they can come in a lot of colors.
What kind of sound do they make? Do you know?
Kind of like a click.
A click, yeah. Some people describe it as clicking two stones or two BBs together. So you like cricket frogs. Are you guys planning on doing anything this Saturday or next Saturday? Maybe not sure. That's too far in the future for you, huh?
We've been trying to get caught up on our fishing activities.
Yeah. Where do you like to fish?
And, I don't know.
Anywhere they're biting, right?
Yeah.
So does your grandpa have a pond on his farm?
Yeah.
Wow. What kind of fish do you catch?
Guppies, bass, bluegills.
What's one of the fish you're trying to go for?
Oh, pike.
A pike?
Oh, walleye.
A walleye, okay. I'll bet someday you'll have to go to Minnesota or Wisconsin or a place like that and really get into the walleye, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can always catch a few in the rivers around here, too, and a few lakes. I probably ought to let you go here pretty soon because I know your dad has got to go work for a little bit. At least that's what he tells us. He's probably going to go sneak off and fish, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Does he do that sometimes? Do you and your brother have one favorite thing that you like to look for, especially in the spring or the summer?
Well,
what's your favorite thing about being outside?
I get to see all these cool things.
You get to see all these cool things, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you told me about birds and some animals and fishing. So there's lots of cool things to do, and I'll bet you want us to take care of things so you can keep doing that, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty special. Well, cool. That's pretty cool, Graham. I keep wanting to see the little guy. That's for him. I brought you each one. I didn't. Next time I'll bring you honey for some eggs. How about that? So you like that better than getting money for your piggy bank?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you put this on pancakes?
Yeah.
You know what's good sometimes? Do you like vanilla ice cream?
Yeah.
Put a little of that on your vanilla ice cream sometime and see how that tastes. Uh-huh. To make it extra special, put a little handful of blueberries with it. And sometime, what you need to do is get your mom and dad to cook some wild rice. You have that with your supper, but you always cook a little extra. And then the next morning, what you do is you warm up the extra and put a little maple syrup on it. Thanks for letting me chat with you for a little bit.
Tyler Harms from here in Ames, Iowa. I think it's really important that we celebrate what Mother Nature has to offer us, I also think it's really important that we do our best to protect what she offers us, what she does for us. Nature has just a lot to offer. My family and I enjoy it very much, and I hope that we can continue to enjoy it, and I hope that we can all work to celebrate and preserve nature so that families in the future can continue to enjoy it as well.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you, Graham. See you guys later. Have a good day.
If you are just tuning in, I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with my neighbor Pat Schlerbaum and our engineer Mike Murphy. And we just listened to Graham and Tyler Harms on some of their Earth Day reflections. And I've got to explain to the listeners that I purchase eggs from the boys when they're backyard hens. And the way I used to pay them a couple of bucks a dozen and make sure that they each put them in their piggy bank. But turns out they like maple syrup and honey much better. They've got their priorities right as far as I'm concerned. And so I had plopped down a couple of little containers of maple syrup because I just returned from a sugar bush region where my uncle lives. And his eyes just got big, and you could see he wanted pancakes right then and there. So, Pat, any quick words before we hear just a bit of music?
I love learning that honey's better than money, and Tyler Harms, what a wildlife professional he is at the Wildlife Research Station just south of Boone.
Yeah, and he's got a little Harms coming up, two of them, in fact. And
Graham and Otis.
They're both outdoors. They take little hikes in their neighborhood every day here in Ames.
Yeah.
A tree city, soon to be named, named a river city.
A river city.
The kids here, our youth have a lot of treasures to explore.
It's really coming together quite nicely, especially with the River City designation that's going to be recognized May 1st, on the morning of May 1st. So keep that in mind. We'll have the times and talking about it. But I suppose it's going to be mid-morning. But Ames, the River City of Iowa for 2021.
As we paddle down that magnificent little stream into the secret forest of Doug Woods, We welcome Susan Gwiazda and Joshua Thompson from the City of Ames. Hello, Susan.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah, great to have both of you here today. Before we start visiting with Joshua, do you have any announcements, Susan?
Well, I do. As I was thinking about this upcoming Earth Day and this being Earth Week and even Earth Month, I was thinking about what are some of the programs the City of Ames offers that really allow an individual to feel that they're making a difference. Two of the programs that came to mind right away were I just wanted to remind people of our glass recycling. There are almost 15 yellow glass recycling bins located all over Story County where you can actually recycle your container glass. That would be things like your pickle jars, your salsa jars, your jelly jars. I'm always kind of surprised at how many things still come in glass jars. And when you're done with those, please don't throw them in the garbage. As you know, we have a waste-to-energy system here in Ames, and glass is really a problem. So that we ask that you bring that container glass back to those yellow bins. They're located at grocery stores, which is pretty convenient because that's where you usually buy the glass. And throw them back into the bins, and they actually are recycled. We have a company out of Kansas City that comes up. We've been in a relationship with them for 5 years where they recycle that glass. They crush it, and they use it in industrial purposes. That's a great program, and it's been around for a long time, and I'm always surprised that I run into people who say they've never heard of it.
You know, a quick question I have on that is colored glass acceptable in those containers?
Yes. So wine bottles, beer bottles, sure. Any kind of, it doesn't have to be clear. It okay. Doesn't matter the color. It is not somewhere you would take your window glass, your windshield glass.
Right.
That's a different kind of glass. You don't take Corningware. That stuff, unfortunately, would still have to be disposed of, you know, regularly. But container glass that had food in it, drinks in it, Snapple, whatever juice beverage you're drinking, those can all go in those yellow bins.
Preferably clean those out before you put them in, and remove the metal would be preferable.
So, yeah, you don't really, just a quick rinse is all you need. They are crushed. The metals are pulled out of them. So if you forget, it's not an issue. So that's a really easy one. And then the other program I wanted to highlight this morning was the Food Waste Diversion Program. It is a perfect program if you're not able to compost at home or you don't want to compost at home or you don't need compost. Pulling the food waste out of your garbage and bringing the food waste to the resource recovery plant on a regular basis and dropping it into their food waste diversion bin is a fantastic way to reduce your garbage by weight. And also, as we talked about, we have a waste-to-energy facility, and wet, mushy garbage does not burn well. Taking the food waste out of the garbage helps ensure that your garbage makes good fuel, and it gives that food a second life as compost. So what a great program. I am amazed at how much food I have pulled out of my garbage. My garbage doesn't smell anymore. It's more compact. It's more primarily paper and plastic product. And the food, I feel terrible about wasting the food, but I feel better that it has a second life as compost.
Yeah.
So those were the two that I wanted to highlight this morning.
As a gardener a sometime gardener, I think of myself as a gardener. I have a compost pile, and I have that ability because, of course, I'm outside of Ames, but there are composting sites available for the food that you're talking about, and I know we've talked about in the past some little indoor compost bins that people can set up. But speaking of compost, do you have anything else, Susan, before I talk with Joshua?
No, I'd like to transition into hearing about the parks.
Well, yeah, because compost is necessary to get those trees in the parks going, and we are so lucky to have located Joshua. I figured he'd be out and about trying to enjoy the crisp outdoors today, but wondering if we can visit with you, Joshua, Superintendent of Facilities and Parks with the City of Ames. Wonder if we can visit a little bit about memorials.
Yeah, we sure can. We got a few options in regards to that, and then depending on the amount, you know, we have two standard items that we the individuals like to memorialize. And then sometimes we're getting into the point where we're starting to increase that as far as other options. And we can get into that this morning. So yeah, if you want me to go ahead and start, I can do that.
Sure. I'll, we're talking about memorials that we want to express our honor for a loved one or somebody we respect. And that's one way to do that publicly. And I know there are options. So if you could go into those, Joshua, we'd love to hear about them.
Yeah, our two main options are memorial benches. And when I came to this position about in 2013, I've been with the city since 2008. It's kind of evolved into the program that we have today. A few years ago, we kind of standardized a few of our park amenities. You know, our park benches are burgundy. If you've been to our park system, which I know you have, we have burgundy park signs that have an adoptive flower garden around them. And then we also have burgundy water fountains. So those are a few of our standard items. And so in regards to the memorials, one thing we've started doing is we can purchase a burgundy bench. And then you can purchase a plaque and place that plaque on there. And it's a really, really nice memorial that lasts for a very, very long time. In the past, we had used like concrete benches that had a plaque on them, and those just didn't hold up very well. So now we have a system that, the benches we say will last for 20 years. And after that 20 years, if you would like to continue to keep that memorial, you can re-up in regards to that. Another option is a memorial tree, which is another very popular item that people like to do. And what that is, so most individuals will come to me and say, hey, I'd like to memorialize an individual or honor someone and plant a tree. Can I do it in this one park? And so we try to direct them and lead them into the right location for these park trees. And then there's also a plaque that we place in it's mounted on a landscape brick that's mounted installed into the ground. So we can just mow right over the top of it. We don't have to trim around it or anything. Just the mower guys can, the mower individuals can just mow right over it. So it's a really nice way of memorializing someone that's going to last a very long time.
Yeah. I noticed, the last time I've noticed this before, but, it was brought to mind last time I was at the Stuart Smith Park there. There's a few of those little plaques and, I think when people see that, they pause for a moment, even if they don't know that individual, and reflect. And that, to me, just, we're taking time to observe somebody else who's honored someone, and then that makes you wonder about that individual. And I know in at least one case, somebody has done a little research to find out about that person. So that's a neat option.
Yeah, no, it's really, really special, and it obviously... It's an honoring to that individual. It's an honor to the family, but it also, it's a neat, gift to the park system. You know, something that, trees are very, very important to our ecosystem. You mentioned in the earlier segment about Tree City USA, we've been doing that for over 35 years, and that's, this is another aspect for individuals to take ownership of the urban woodlands in the city of Ames. And so, by providing and donating memorial trees is a great option. After the derecho and then after how many trees we lost late last summer, we're always looking for tree donations and we can help direct those into certain parks.
Yeah, and what's really neat is there's the issue with the tree removal, of course, down on South Duff, but people need to understand that we're somewhat trying to work with our habitat to improve the habitat in the long run, and we're placing trees about the city even though we're removing some. You've got to remove some. You've got to put them in areas that they're going to do the best for our what our goal is. But Tree City also leads to bird friendly, and Ames has also been designated as a bird friendly community, so we've got a lot of great outdoor things going for us.
That is correct. shows that our community and the individuals and the residents of this community really take pride in their outdoor spaces. Take pride in a lot in everything in the city, but they take specifically their outdoor spaces, the system, and we really appreciate that.
Does your facility or does the city have a guide or a map that locates the different memorials for folks if they're interested?
You know, currently we don't. We do have we're working on an asset. It's basically like an asset management system where like an individual, like what you're describing, can look up a park and say, hey, where are all the benches? We don't necessarily have, we do have an inventory for all the trees. And so the trees are inventory. I'll have to talk to our foresters, see if those are all public. But, individuals can, we're working on it that it's hopefully go live later this year in regards to, you know, an individual comes to the city, say, hey, I'm going to be walking this path, running this path. You know, I want to see where the bench is at. And it will have an information about what type of bench it is, if it's memorialized or not.
And this, just to be clear for our listeners, this is a little different than what we would find out, for example, at Ada Hayden Park. There's a number of the memorial stones, which is part of the doings between the city and the Friends group that have designated those for outstanding conservationists in that particular setting. And we're talking about honoring other individuals as well. And I guess the last question that I have for you, Joshua, concerning that is, how does an individual go about starting the process? Do they come to your office? Who do they see?
So we have a page on the City of Ames Parks and Recreation page in regards to memorials and donations. They can reach out. There's a form they can fill out. They can, and then it gets sent to me. I like to communicate with those individuals one-on-one. We don't just allow individuals to go out there and just pick. So they have to inquire with me.
Sure.
And then I work with them individually. We have a local company, Cyclone Engravings, that handles all the plaques, and they do a very, very nice job. And so there's kind of a little bit of a process. You know, just want to, you know, if individuals are looking to do that, they can reach out to me personally, or they can get on the website and do that. But, we want to encourage individuals to do that, specifically trees. We have lots of areas in our park system where we can plant trees. Benches, lots of benches within our park system. So we don't just allow individuals to say, I want a bench right here. There is a plan that goes for that, and I help orchestrate that. So, yeah, that's how they can do it. And if they have any other questions or concerns, or if there's other things that say the cost of a bench is $1,750, the cost of a tree is $400 with a plaque. They both include plaque, and they both include installation. Hey, I want to give something bigger. We have other options for that.
Okay.
So I can help orchestrate that if that is necessary.
That sounds great. And I would just, this is just, you can take it for what it's worth, but, you know, Joshua, you're kind of a younger guy, and you need somebody a little bit who has a little more experience and has aged well, and they need to walk with you to figure out where to place those benches for some folks, you know.
Yeah.
So, not that I would need that, but it's always nice on a day to sit and reflect. Anything else to add, Joshua, before we close out?
You know, just a couple of things, not necessarily related to memorials. I just want to alert individuals, or not necessarily alert, encourage individuals this Saturday at Munn Woods. We have partnered with, or the Friends of Emma McCarthy Lee and Ann Munn Woods have partnered with the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation to do a garlic mustard pulling party, if that's what you want to call it. So the City of Ames is going to provide bags. There's going to be volunteers there, and there's a section. They're going to be meeting off the corner. It's the we call it the Hickory entrance off of Woodland. In Hickory, it's the corner that go down the stairs, and there's going to be individuals there to direct areas where we're going to start pulling garlic mustard. So
great.
I just want individuals to that. And then also Ames Foundation has partnered again with the City of Ames to do a tree planting. We'll be looking for volunteers. It's our annual Ames Foundation tree planting. We're going to be doing that here middle of May. And so then just encourage individuals to, be attentive to that if they want to help plant a tree. They're more than welcome to do that.
Well, certainly keep us posted on that tree planting, because, you know, I look at a tree as a great memorial, and you're helping sequester carbon as well. You know, that's the buzz phrase right now. And what a way to honor an individual and still help the environment in many ways. That tree is, it's a tree of life for a number of species too. Thanks, Joshua. Thank you, Susan. And, in regards to the mustard pole, I would say folks have to have their little earbuds and keep one bud in to listen to KHOI and our coverage of Earth Day with the city, and the other ear can be open to the hearing the birds and things as you're pulling mustard.
Thank you.
And now, without further ado, help.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Well, and Anna Banana, our good news banana for KHOI, is stacking the bananas. So, Anna, here comes the sun. I'm sure you'll brighten our day and warm our hearts. It's a little gray out there, but you're our little liquid ray of sunshine today.
Oh, that's a nice introduction. Well, it is Tune In Tuesday as I try and tempt you to listen to KHOI. So I'm going to start with sharing these heart-to-heart messages that are poems about this little citrus fruit, which is typically round and green in color, a rich source of vitamin C, and are often used to accent the flavors of food and beverages. Let's see if you can guess the fruit from these poems. Bright colors bring joy, wallpaper or corduroy, textures, textiles to implement vivid hues. Consider key lime pie, jello, jellies, jam, dye. Gumdrops, lollipops, cake and bake shops. Do please many taste are in great ways, aced with yellow-green tints and lots of peppermints. 6, 9, or in dozens at a bakery. Cousins all buy Irish cupcakes yummier than Drake's. I'm quite happy in lime, since before my prime, wearing shirts, dresses, and sweaters caresses. Lime indeed pleases, in tempting teases, I'm surely hooked. My lime soup's cooked. All right, and then this one, which I like. Zesty lemon lime, fizzy tingle, slurpy, jazzy, juicy, citrus flare, punk rock hair, apple sours, pucker funky, lip gloss tarty, venomous verde, nail polish. Well, these poems have the titles Luscious Lime and Zingy Zinger.
I couldn't figure out how to rhyme time with cranberries.
Did you do it?
Well, no, I had to rhyme it with lime.
Lime. Well, the lime is zesty, and speaking of zesty, having a zest for life, the dynamic duo Donna and Lana will be discussing the lime pie, among other odds and ends, on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. Donna Lana Kitchen Show talks about food farming recipes, advice, and opinions. Chef Donna and Farmer Lana explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor on Tuesdays at noon and repeated at 7 p.m. So, Mike Metz, what do you call the lowest fruit on a lime tree?
Low-hanging fruit.
Or sublime. Speaking of sublime, what will we hear if we tune in and listen to you and Sam discuss on Science Bites today?
Well, co-host Sam Wormley and I will rebroadcast part one of an interview we did with Dr. Irv Kloss, where we're discussing the book Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, which also led to the history of the banning of the use of DDT in the United States. That's our observation for Earth Week, and then we'll follow up with part two the following week.
Ooh. So after you listen to two fun guys making science interesting, You can tune in tonight at 8:30 p.m. to find out what songs I match to the messages and conversation that are part of the show. Now, tonight's show is all about friendship. We live in a world where loneliness is reaching epidemic proportions, especially with the pandemic. And the good news, there is a proven antidote. The author of the book Friendship Matters, Karen Riddle, will share simple, specific steps and practical tools that will guide you to find, build, and maintain genuine friendships. So you can tune in to discover why adopting the magical friendship molecule makes the world a happier place. And if you like the promotional Facebook post, you will be entered into a drawing for a copy of her book. Now, let me see if you can guess from me reading the lyrics of one of tonight's songs. I'm guessing you can, or maybe not. So for all those who wish the best for their romantic partners, their co-workers, and children, I dedicate these lyrics to you. You'll change inside when you realize the world comes to life and everything's all right from beginning to end. When you have a friend by your side that helps you to find the beauty of all, when you'll open your hearts and believe in the gift of a friend. All right, Mike Metz, can you guess the song?
Oh, I think it's A Splendid Song of Love.
Right. We'll find out if you're right, and we all know he is wrong by tuning in to KHOI 89.1 FM tonight. And a sneak preview to what is ahead this Thursday with something to say that is connected to the Non-Alana Kitchen Show topic. So I taught my niece how to zest a lime. She was really great. Da-da-da.
Oh, well, I thought you were soaping it down.
Well, speaking of great, Mike Murphy, what will we hear on Thursday if we tune into You Name It?
Well, as you know, Thursday is Earth Day.
Right.
And so we'll be celebrating Earth Day with songs all Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, including a song entitled Silent Spring by Emma's Revolution, a tribute to Rachel Carson.
Great. Yeah.
Ooh, which ties right back to Science Bites, which you can listen to today at 4:30, right, Mike Metz?
Correct. 4:30 to 5.
That's right. Okay, one more joke. Why couldn't the line be in the orchestra?
Because he hit sour notes.
Ooh, that's a better one. But the answer was because he just couldn't keep lime. But I like that one, your answer, much better. But who can be in the orchestra and keep lime? I mean, time? Tom Russell. So check out all things piano and beyond, 9 a.m. on KHOI's YouTube page and by tuning in, again, to 89.1 FM. So a lot of reasons to tune into KHOI, but it is time for Anna Banana to split. So it's back to you, Mike Metz.
Well, thank you for sharing the limelight with us this morning, Anna. And Pat?
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program.
And this program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg and engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Michael. You heard from Susan Guiazda and Joshua Thomas with the City of Ames. I have been your host, Mike Metz.
Please consider becoming a member of this fine community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the donate button to begin the process of becoming a member.
And Anna, please take us out.
Our theme song, as always, is backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. You also heard Doug Wood's Voyager's Dreams and The Secret Forest from his album Deep Woods, Deep Waves. So stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. And remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And
we'll see you again
on the radio.